Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
Chair congratulates Reverend Matthew C. Harrison and declares him as the newly elected president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I wish to inform you that you have kept your perfect record of electing sinners as presidents of the Missouri Synod.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices and contemporary worship styles down the line.
It's faith that makes you aware of the doubt. And a person that has no faith in God isn't hurt by doubt. It's the Christians that are feeling the struggle that's inside of them.
Florida truck drivers love Issues Etc.
The Bible's full of difficult-to-pronounce names, and I guess if you went through and made a catalog, Old Testament, New Testament, of all the names of people that are mentioned, it would fill a book in and of itself. And the New Testament has names sometimes spoken only once, sometimes written only once, and we know very little of these people. And yet, in the case of these three, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, where they are mentioned is indeed one of the most important places in all of Scripture, the resurrection of Jesus himself. And the church remembers Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, and so will we here on Issues Etc. this Tuesday afternoon, August the 3rd. We're coming to you live. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Kurt Giese joins us to talk about these three women for the first few minutes of the program. Then Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will join us to talk about the undivorced. They're married, technically, on paper, often not living together, separated, with no plans to divorce. It's simply too messy a business. We'll see what Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse thinks about this new trend in, well, not quite marriage and certainly not divorce. Then, to round off this hour of Issues Etc., Pastor Joel Frischi will join us. We'll talk about Christianity and suffering, some of the most famous words drawn from the prophet Job, if I'm not mistaken, uttered usually at the beginning of a funeral service. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Does that just apply to a funeral, or is that about the whole Christian life as well? In the second hour of the program, we'll spend the entire hour on this Tuesday afternoon with Dr. Alistair McGrath of Oxford University, talking about atheist fundamentalism. He's co-authored a new book, The Dawkins Delusion, Atheist Fundamentalism, and the Denial of the Divine. Now, you can join us. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can visit our Facebook fan page and leave your comments on the undivorced as well. Facebook.com/issuesetc, Facebook.com/issuesetc. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. Kurt Giese is professor of theology at Concordia University, Texas. Dr. Giese, welcome back.
Thank you so much. A pleasure to be with you.
Is it remarkable that these women have their names mentioned at all, rather than just remaining anonymous women at the tomb?
Well, by providing names, the gospel author gives a face to these individuals. Certainly, they could have just said the women who followed Jesus, took myrrh to the tomb, and so on. But by giving a name to them, that provides a face that gives them gives the impression ever more clearly that these are indeed individuals who are saints and sinners. More details are given about them elsewhere other than the resurrection accounts. So it just provides the extra body and depth to show that these were not just faceless followers of Jesus, but people who had other lives outside of just their event of being there at the resurrection. But these are saints and sinners, important followers of Jesus, who had a name, who had depth of personality, and by providing their name in more details, that gives a great further idea of who these people were.
These women are witness of the crucifixion and the death and the resurrection of the empty tomb of Jesus. Let's start with Joanna. Where do we find her, and what does the Bible say about her?
Yeah, there's more than just the crucifixion and the empty tomb that we meet her. We know about her only actually from the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 8, verses 2 to 3, it says that Joanna was one of the people who provided monetary support for Jesus and his ministry. Actually, with Mary Magdalene and Susanna, Joanna was healed of some disorder by Jesus and then was led to be a follower. She was the wife of Cusa, one of Herod Antipas's estate managers, and then, as mentioned, she was led to follow Jesus from Galilee through the latter part of his ministry, so apparently left a life in Galilee, possibly her husband also back there, and was led to follow Jesus. And then at the end of the book of Luke, Luke 24, where it speaks about the women going to embalm Jesus' body, the angels appear to these women, and then they are told to go proclaim to the disciples. And in verse 10, it says, Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James and the other woman, told these things to the apostles, namely about the resurrection. So there's more than just a mention of her at the resurrection, but also earlier in the book of Luke.
Mary, the mother of James, gets us into kind of mixed up Mary territory, along with more than one James always floating around out there. Where does the
right.
Bible locate her?
Well, actually, in Mark and Matthew and also John, she is mentioned. In Matthew, Matthew calls her the Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, or the other Mary. Also, Mark names her Mary, the mother of James the younger and of Joseph, and also Mary, the mother of Joseph in another instance, and Mary, the mother of James in another instance. And John gives a bit more detail, calls her Mary, the wife of Clopas. Nothing really more is known about Clopas except there's a mention in Eusebius, his ecclesiastical history, that Clopas may have been Joseph's brother, that is, Joseph, the husband of Mary, but that's not a certainty. So a few more instances in which that Mary is mentioned. Indeed, you're correct, there's some fuzziness about which Mary they're talking about at a certain time.
And Salome, what do we know of her from the New Testament?
Well, her name comes from the Hebrew word shalom, which means peace. Again, there's a bit of fuzziness here, but it could be that Salome was Mary's sister, that is, Mary, the mother of our Lord. There's an instance in John where it speaks about, John 19:25, but standing at the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the mother of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, and the mother's sister. By other similar references and lists, it just seems logical to plug in the name Salome there. It's also possible in those lists that she may be the mother of James and John and the wife of Zebedee. If that's the case, she was the mother who somewhat audaciously came to Jesus and asked for prominent places for her sons in Jesus' kingdom. So, again, a little bit of fuzziness there, but these are distinct possibilities that she fits all those pieces.
Does that mean that if the puzzle's put together that way, that James and John, the sons of Zebedee, sons of Salome, would in fact be Jesus' first cousins?
Yes. If we put it together in that way, that is the case then.
These women are referred to as faithful women. Why should we remember them this way?
Well, they confess Christ in the face of adversity. As mentioned, Joanna apparently left a rather wealthy situation back in Galilee in the estate of Herod. Also, they followed Christ in his last days, and they were present at his crucifixion. So just being there is confessing Christ in the face of adversity, since there's danger around that setting. The disciples were basically not there because of fear. And also they went with myrrh to embalm the body of Christ Sunday morning of Christ's resurrection, and that could have been a dangerous situation as well. So they faithfully confessed Christ in the situation, adversity. They faithfully were going to care for the body of Christ, but glorious outcome. They witnessed the empty tomb and also heard the message of the angels, who then encouraged them to proclaim that to disciples. So they were also faithful proclaimers of that good resurrection news. So they were blessed in that way, and the church gives thanks for them for their faithful following of Christ, their confession in adversity. Give thanks that they were the first to view the empty tomb and proclaim Christ's resurrection. And also, in that seeming dark death setting, suddenly the glory of Christ is there in the midst of that situation of humility. Is often the glory of Christianity in Christ is seen clearly in situations of humility, and situations like that is also in baptism. We're baptized in the death and yet the life of Christ. So through humble means, through humble settings, we see the glory of Christ in Christianity as well, and we give thanks for the role and confession of these faithful women in that.
Dr. Kurt Giese is professor of theology at Concordia University, Texas. Dr. Giese, thank you very much for being our guest.
Pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much.
It's often seen as kind of the way that Jesus does things, that he would grant to these women, humble in their social and political status of that day, we admit, yet given a great honor and privilege to witness these key events, the key events of our salvation with their own eyes, and to speak of them immediately, faithfully, with their own lips. And it is a picture of how he deals so mercifully with us, with his church, given to witness his resurrection, his saving work at the cross, and his victory over death, and to speak of it, even today, even us. When we come back, we're going to talk about the undivorced. They're still married. They're not divorced. They're not living together. They like it that way. They want to keep it that way. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. And Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Hi, this is Ville calling from Finland. I believe the day will come when you cannot enter the office as a pastor in the ELCA unless you subscribe to the ordination of gays and lesbians. And why do I believe that? Because Americans are sinners like we Finns are.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.